there. Welcome to the show. I can't believe it's Friday already, but it is once again. I'm glad you're here with me on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'll be with you for the next 30 minutes as today we take a look at this Sunday's Mass readings, which will be the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. We'll read the Mass readings. We'll review them a little bit. I'll give you some insight as to what you can extract from the Mass readings. You might have a different message that you get from the Lord from these readings, but I'll tell you where I'm going with them. And also in the program, I want to chat a little bit about something I talked about on my show Spirit in the Morning earlier today, the fact that it's okay to argue with God. I know that doesn't seem like something you really want to do, but let's talk a little bit about it because I think it's an important concept. And I'll give you more information about that, including the article that inspired me to discuss it this morning on Spirit in the Morning. Finally, I'll share a verse with you from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. If you're somebody who tends to be an anxious person, I think this will really help you. I'm going to try to do more and more of this, but I really want to thank you for tuning into this podcast every week. As you probably know, since I started doing the morning show, I scaled down this podcast. I'm doing once a week right now, and I think that's a good groove to be in for the time being. I also want to let you know that if you need anything, please contact me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate all of your words of support, your prayers, your financial donations, which you can make at followingthetruth.com, and also your purchases from Amazon, the Amazon links on my website, and the Mystic Monk link. So if you need some good coffee or good books, please use the links on my website, followingthetruth.com, and that would really help me. Let's kick it off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, I give you thanks for giving us a new day. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways, most of all with the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to help anyone who is struggling with illness today, with anxiety, with any sort of battle that they're facing with addiction, if they're facing religious persecution, weather-related problems. Please help them all. Grant them your peace and let them know that you love them and that you are there for them. We ask you, Father, to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to increase vocations. We ask you to put an end to abortion in the world. I give you this program. I give you this show, Father, and I ask you to speak through me. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. I ask for all these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I thank you again for tuning into the show. Remember that you can not only get this program on Blog Talk Radio, you can also pick it up on TuneIn Radio or iTunes. It's going to be free of charge no matter how you do it. And I thank you for being a loyal listener. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. I'm glad to have you here. If you enjoy the program, please share it with your friends. I need to take a sip of my Mystic Monk breakfast blend coffee. That's what I'm drinking tonight. All right, let's take a look at a couple things since we only have 30 minutes. I will cover the Mass readings. But I want to first share with you the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. I read this earlier on. I read these every day on my Spirit of the Morning program as well. But let me read it to you. This is February the 3rd. And by the way, if you're interested in getting a copy of Stop Worrying and Start Living, you can do that at followingthetruth.com. That's one way. You can also pick it up at dynamiccatholic.com. Today's verse comes from Hebrews 12:7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And I make the point in the short reflection in my book that parental discipline comes out of love. So if you're dealing with something in your life right now, something you may not understand, something you may not be especially happy with, the first thing I would do is concentrate. Like, people have asked me sometimes, what do I do? How do I deal with a problem in my life that's just not getting any better? One of the pieces of advice that I like to give is, and I do this in my own life, is if you concentrate and meditate on how much God loves you, And what's meditating? Meditating is a fancy word for thinking. Sometimes that word can really freak us out, but it's thinking. It's thinking about God's love. God loves me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that the gates of heaven could be open for me. Now, when you look at Jesus and his love, he went through this for you and for me. He went through a lot of pain. He dealt with a lot of opposition. And then he died on the cross so that the gates of heaven could be opened. But before he died on the cross, what did he do? He instituted the Eucharist. So he gave us his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the form of what appears to be bread. But it's not bread, but it appears to be bread, because he didn't want to leave us without his real presence. Now, he did that in spite of the fact, and he knew this, because remember, in his divinity, Jesus knows everything. He knows everything that has happened in the past and everything that will happen in the future. So he knows that. He knew that he was going to be ignored, that he would be disrespected in the Eucharist. He knew that. But he did it anyway. Why? He's willing to take that risk because he wants to be there with us. He wants to be here with us, I should say. So if you start thinking more and more about that love and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, you're going to begin to realize that things will happen in your life that aren't pleasant, because we're all going to have suffering in our lives. But if we really begin to understand how much God loves us, then we'll be able to appreciate, well, if he loves me, he's not going to let anything happen that can't help me in some way. The goal, our goal in life, is to get to heaven. That's our goal. We have a lot of sub-goals within that goal, but they're not necessarily God's goals. I mean, if I had to make goals for myself based on what feels good to me, I would make a goal of never being sick. I would make a goal of never dealing with any financial issues. I would make a goal of never getting any illness that will be very serious and cause me a lot of pain. I'm gonna have people like everything I say, never have any opposition for anybody. These would be my goals for myself, because I love comfort. But that's not going to get me to heaven. And again, we could come back and say to the Lord, yeah, but I don't like your rules. But he gets to make the rules because he's God. So we're either going to play by the rules if we want to live in his kingdom, or we're not. We're going to fight him. I suggest we play by the rules. And if we do that, then we begin to see why a verse like this from the letter to the Hebrews is really powerful. It's powerful because this discipline that the Lord allows to happen to us. And let's be honest, anything that happens in our life, he lets happen. He is God. Sometimes we think we get into this God's will business, and we think, well, it's not really God's will that somebody yelled at me. God allowed it to happen. He doesn't will the evil, but he allows the event to take place. So, in other words, it is his will that it happen. But again, he doesn't will the evil. But for some reason, he knows that that can benefit us in some way. Because if you don't accept that, if you start thinking that God only wills what's pleasant in my life, then you start to believe that God is not in control. He can only control some things, which is absolute lunacy. There's no way. He is in control. So there's going to be bad things in your life that will happen. God allows them to happen. Why? Because he's helping you with them in some way. Do they have to help you? No. You can ignore what God's letting happen and just not try to benefit from them. Or you could say to the Lord, hey, Lord, I know you're trying to teach me something here. Can you let me know what you're trying to teach me? So that's something to keep in mind, especially if you're going through a problem today. Now, I also want to point out that on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia, I talked about an article today by Father Jeffrey Kirby. The article was called God Doesn't Need Empty Lip Service in Prayer. If you want to read the whole article, go to spiritinthemorning.com. and look at the entry for Friday, which is today, February the 3rd. Look at the entry for Friday. There is a link to the article there, as well as a link to the Bible verse that I just read. But in the article, I just want to talk about it for a few minutes because I think it's a great concept, one that if we embrace, we're going to be a lot more peaceful. And I'm all about peace. I love peace in my life. If we embrace this idea, we're going to be a lot more peaceful in life. It's okay, Father Kirby states, to get angry with God. Because sometimes what we do, we're very annoyed about what's happening in our lives. Something, and we talked about this just before this, when I said that some things that happen in life are not going to be pleasant. Well, we can do two things. We can, inside, be really annoyed about what's happening to us in life, and then turn to God in prayer and clean everything up and say, oh, dear Lord, thank you for everything that's happening in my life. I'm very blessed. I'm really annoyed, but I can't tell God about that. And we come up with what Father Kirby refers to as empty lip service in our prayer. In other words, we're not expressing our true feelings to God. I have news for you, my friend. When you're annoyed at God, when you're annoyed at the things that are happening in your life, he is very aware of that. Why? Because he is all-knowing. He gets it. He understands. So why play games? It feels funny. I know it doesn't feel good. But I had a priest tell me this a few years ago. He said, if you're angry at God, tell him. He could take it. He's got big shoulders. I mean, it feels weird. I know it does. But when we unload on God, and at some point, you have to reel it in. I understand that. If all you do is yell at him constantly, it's not going to be very healthy for your spiritual life. But it's okay to get angry and to argue with him. Lord, this isn't fair. I know you could fix this problem in my life. You know, sometimes we're afraid to do that. But Pope Francis has said, and in fact, Father Jeff Kirby quotes him in this article, that it's okay to argue or bargain with God. That shows that you're very familiar with him. That shows you're being open and you're committed to the relationship. What's the best thing for any relationship? It's honesty. So if you're feeling annoyed, bring it to prayer. Don't just be annoyed and complain to yourself. Bring it to God in prayer. And as long as you tell him, Lord, I'm annoyed, but I'm trying. I'm trying to do it your way, but it really bothers me. You know, show some kind of desire to do his will, but at the same time, be honest. Let him know that you're struggling with some things. That honesty is going to make for your relationship with the Lord to grow. It's going to help it to grow. Honesty in prayer, not just empty lip service. Now, if you want to read that article in full by Father Jeff Kirby, check out spiritinthemorning.com. And in the Friday section, I have a link to that article. I also have the podcast from this morning, spiritinthemorning.com. So in case you're not a morning person, you want to hear it, check it out. If you haven't checked the show out, I really think you'll like it. It's 60 minutes each day. We put the podcast up at spiritinthemorning.com. We play music, which I can't play on this show because I don't have the licensing. At Holy Spirit Radio, they have the licensing to do that. I don't. That's why I don't play music on this show. But we do the gospel. We have guests. Today we had Dan Burke from EWTN's National Catholic Register, plus Father Jeff Kirby on the show talking about the article. So if you want to go further than just reading it, check out the podcast, spiritinthemorning.com. Okay, time for Mass readings for Sunday. Sunday is the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the Mass readings kick off. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, toward the back of Isaiah here, verses 7 through 10. Thus says the Lord, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall quickly be healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted. Then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. Now, we'll talk more about this as I read all the readings. We'll try to tie them in together. But obviously, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. You walk with Jesus, you're not going to walk in the darkness. You might not be able to see the next step, but that's because the Lord doesn't often illuminate the next step. He wants you to see the current step. Furthermore, once you walk with Jesus in life, he also expects you to be a light to those around you. So once you find Jesus, you don't want to keep him to yourself. You want to share him with others. You want to share him with the people around you. So you are called to do good deeds. You are called to be the positive person. Because there's a lot of negativity out in the world today. You are called, because of the fact that you're a Christian, to share Jesus with others, with those around you. So again, we're going to tie this in at the end when I go through all the readings. But just hold that thought for right now. Psalm 112 is our responsorial psalm. The just man is a light in darkness to the upright. That theme continues in the responsorial psalm. Light shines through the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. He shall never be moved. The just one shall be an everlasting remembrance. An evil report he shall not fear. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steadfast, he shall not fear. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His justice shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. The just man is a light in darkness to the upright. There's a good message there. If you are somebody who is a just person, if you try to be good, if you try to follow Jesus Christ and the rules of his church, if you try to do that, you're going to become that light to those people around you. Now, you might annoy those people, because here's the thing. They tell me, I've never really experienced this before, but when you have a cockroach infestation, I know that's a gross thought, but fortunately, I'm not a bug guy, and I have not had to deal with this. But you turn the lights on, and what the cockroaches do is they scatter. It's the same thing with us when we sin. We don't like to see what we look like. And it might be the same effect if you're if you look at yourself in a picture, right? Somebody takes a picture of you, you look at yourself, and you say, yeah, that's what I look like. Sometimes we have this vision in our minds of what we look like, and then we see a photograph or we happen to go in front of a mirror, and the image isn't exactly what we expected. That's because we come up with a false image of ourselves. Same thing with sin. We sin, we don't really think about it that much, but when it becomes obvious to us what we're doing, it is a very scary, it sometimes can be a very scary, eye-opening experience. And that's what we see in this this responsorial psalm and the theme that we're seeing today. When you are a light, when you let somebody know by your actions or possibly even by your words, but you have to be careful about that. You don't want to go around pointing fingers at people. But when they see by your actions, your words, the way you live your life, that somebody might be not doing what they're supposed to be doing, oftentimes the reaction is, well, look at you. You're not perfect either. Or how dare you tell me what to do? Or any number of reactions. I see this when I blog. I ran into this on a couple occasions. Fortunately, not too many times, but people would attack me for saying things, even though I wasn't really accusing anybody. But people don't like to be told what to do. They don't like to be told they're doing something morally wrong. But we have a duty to do that. We have a duty to do it in charity, but we still have the duty to let people know if we're aware of something sinful that they're doing, especially if it's somebody like a child, like our child, or maybe a spouse or a good friend. It's our duty to let them know. If we really love them, we're going to help them out. But again, you don't always get the best reaction in the world. That's okay. That's what happens when the light, when sin gets illuminated by the light. It can be a bit of a painful process. Second reading is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. St. Paul has spoken on several occasions about his weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong. He said that elsewhere in the New Testament. But right here, St. Paul is saying, I'm not that eloquent. These words that I'm giving you, I am not a wonderful speaker. But what I'm giving you is the message of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul understands that God can use him to spread the good news, even if he's not the greatest and most polished speaker in the world. You see the obvious message, don't you? That he can use you too. So don't count yourself out and think, well, God can't use me. God can use me. You. He used the apostles. He used St. Paul. He used many weak people throughout the ages. He can certainly use you and me to spread his good news, to be that light to those around us. And believe me, it starts with being nice to people. It all starts with doing kind things for those around you. You don't start with the preaching, because nobody's going to want to hear that. The first thing you do is you try to be positive, you try to be cheerful, and you try to be a loving person. Do it out of love. Don't do it out of anger. A lot of times, even though we think we're trying to help people, trying to spread the good news, we get mad at them when they don't listen to us. And that's not the way Jesus wants us to do it. So please, be careful about that and continue to spread the good news to those around you. One by one, one person makes a difference. A lot of times we think, I can't make a difference. I'm only one person. It's okay to be only one person. That's how it all starts. And that's what the apostles did. They did little by little. After Jesus ascended into heaven, they went out and they spread the good news. We're called to do the same thing. And don't worry about people getting mad at you. Don't worry about not having what you need. St. Paul shows us that if we turn to the Lord and really fall back on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we can have a lot more than we think we do. And sometimes, and I don't know if you've experienced this, I've run into this several times. I give a great talk in my mind, or I have a good argument for somebody about the faith, and I think, this is it. They're going to listen to this. They're going to love what I have to say. And there is no reaction. And then there are other times when I think, oh boy, I was not articulate. I just couldn't put two words together in any coherent form. And I'll have somebody say, that was really powerful what you said. And I think, what did I say? Well, that's the power of the Holy Spirit as he works through us. Don't try to do it all yourself. Yeah, you need to be a light to the world, but make sure you're letting the Lord work through you. And his message gets put forth through you. It's what St. Paul did. It's what St. John the Baptist did. It wasn't about them. It was about the Lord's message coming through them. The gospel is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." That's a powerful last sentence. When people see our good deeds, they give glory to our heavenly Father. That is so incredibly important that we start to do that. Good deeds, not just words. I have known plenty of people, and I've been guilty of this on probably more occasions than I'd like to admit in my life. I've been guilty of saying one thing and doing another. A lot of times, empty words. It's very easy to just spew the empty words, but are you living those words? If you're talking about following Christ, if you're talking about being a Christian, are you a loving person? Are you charitable? Oftentimes, we see that people who are trying to evangelize are really nasty. Why would anybody listen to somebody who is coming across in a nasty way? It doesn't make a lot of sense, but you see it all over social media. I mean, social media, especially nowadays, Facebook is horrendous. Just because you disagree with somebody doesn't give you the right to use offensive language, to make fun of them, and to get angry. That's violating the principles of Christianity. So not only is it not effective, because who wants to get yelled at by someone as they're trying to teach you about Jesus? I mean, I don't find that to be a very appealing message. But not only is it not effective, it's also wrong. It also can be sinful. So we want to watch that. Sometimes we get a little overzealous when it comes to sharing the faith, and we say things that we really shouldn't say. Be careful about that. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and continue to remember, continue to read the life of Christ through the Gospels especially, and see what you're supposed to do. See what the Lord wants you to do. See how he lived his life. A lot of times we compare ourselves to other people. We always pick people that are going to make us look good. I generally don't compare myself to people who are doing a better job than I am at being holy, right? I pick the people who maybe don't have it all together, and I'll say, oh, you know what? I'm better than this guy because he is a real mess, but look at me. I go to Mass every week, and I read my Bible every day. He never does that. Compare yourself to Jesus, and you get a different picture. That's the guy we should be comparing ourselves to. You compare yourself to Jesus, and all of a sudden, all those things you're doing and feeling good about, you're not going to feel that good anymore. But that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to imitate him. So if you do that, you will be not only on the path which will lead to heavenly life, that's going to get you to heaven, but you're going to attract many other people along the way. You're going to be that light in the darkness, attracting people wherever you go. All right, does that sound good? We're just about out of time. Hopefully you enjoyed the show today. I wanted to get a lot in. And this is the way the Friday programs are going to work from now on. I'm going to try to put in as much material as I can for the 30 minutes. We'll take some stuff from the morning show, especially with Lent coming on. Haven't figured out how that's going to work out yet, but we'll think of something. Please continue to let me know what you think of the program. Keep in touch, Gary@followingthetruth.com. I would invite you to visit my website, which is followingthetruth.com. You can check out how to invite me to your parish to speak. And I like to say it. I don't like to emphasize it too much, but I really am in need of some new sponsors, some new donors. If you're able to contribute to my work financially, I'd greatly appreciate it. All you need to do is go to the donate page, followingthetruth.com, and make a secure donation online through PayPal. You can either become a monthly sponsor. I could really use some new monthly sponsors so that I could continue with this mission. I'd be very appreciative of that. And also, if you shop from Amazon.com, if you would kindly use the Amazon link on my website, you will get your same normal prices, but what happens is because you came from my website, I get a little commission on anything you purchase. If you're a coffee drinker, Mystic Monk Coffee is fantastic coffee. I have an image on my website, a link to Mystic Monk Coffee, and anything you purchase from there results in a profit for me too. So I have my cup of Mystic Monk Coffee right now. I'm drinking some breakfast blend. You could, by purchasing the Mystic Monk or from the Amazon link, you could help me out, plus the donations. And I thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I would not be able to have survived in full-time ministry for over 5 years now without your help. I'm extremely grateful. Let me know what I can do for you. Enjoy your weekend. Remember, you are a light in the darkness. Go out and shine your light wherever you go. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.